ready for brain stories? Get inspired and learn from thought leaders, CEOs, business owners, and managers who tell their brain stories, who share their valuable insights from their own experience. Welcome to Brains Talk. I'm your host, Bridget. For brain lovers, this show is to help you develop and grow your brand in a more strategic and sustainable way. Walk the talk. Let's get started and dive with me into the world of brains. Today, I have the pleasure to have Lee Stem on my show. She is a mindset coach, a business marketing strategist, and corporate trainer. She coaches business owners, in particular women business owners, who are wanting to grow their business, increase leads, conversions, and more profits. She does this by implementing strategic marketing strategies that will assist them to dominate their market whilst putting in place the strategies that will not cost them a cent. She owns qualifications with 20 years of experience as a counselor, master coach, master NLP practitioner, corporate trainer, a reach consulting practitioner, extended disc facilitator, keynote speaker, and online course launch wizard. And she is a community builder. So I warmly welcome Lee Stem. Welcome to Brains Talk.
Hello, everyone. It's Lee here, and I'm so excited to be here. And thank you so much, Bridget, for that introduction. Oh, gosh, it made me blush almost. So thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to us chatting today and, you know, giving some great value to your audience as well. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Let's get started. Where do we go from here, Bridget?
Let's get started, Lee. So I'm so glad and having you here today to talk about women in business and in workplace more efficient and how to develop this personal effectiveness. So Lee, let's start out with your background and tell us a little bit about your journey.
Sure, that's fantastic. I'm remembering back as we're talking of my journey, and I remember sitting in a corporate office and I hated it, absolutely hated my work. I was in a very male-dominant area and I was a leader, but I loved fitness. And what I would do is I'd watch the clock all day. I'd have my shoes on, my running shoes on under my desk, ready to escape at 5 p.m. You know, it was like, let me get out of there as soon as I can. And, you know, and it got to a stage back then, because I've been in business, as you know, since 2001. But back then, there wasn't a really a lot of support, and there was not much professional development. I was actually in the public service in Australia, so there wasn't a lot of support. And I was in a very male-dominated industry, as it was IT. And back then in 2001, not many women were actually in the IT area as well. So I experienced being excluded. I experienced bullying, being put down because I'm a female. And every day I'd cry. I would actually cry. I was so upset that I would cry. So I just decided to leave. It was thinking back now, it was the best decision I made. But back then, it was terrifying, Bridget. I had no business experience. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to leave because my mental health was destroying me, absolutely destroying me. So in that meantime, I had won like 4 Australian championships in martial arts as well. So I was very much active, very much in the fitness industry. And, of course, I thought that I would become a personal trainer, you know. So I went along and started my business, and I got ripped off because I had my own personal trainer, and he asked me, could I go into business with him? And I thought that the sky had opened up. I thought that it was just an amazing offer that I was actually invited to be a partner in this fitness adventure. So I left this job and drew all my super out, and I gave it to him to be a partner. No contracts, no business savviness, nothing. Six weeks later, he comes to me and he says to me, I don't want you as a partner. I just wanted your money. You're ugly. You're horrible. He put me down and I was distraught. Now I had lost all of my savings, didn't have a job, didn't know what to do, had no business sense, but I knew that I had one thing, Bridget, and that's resilience. Because, you know, I believe that all women, when our back is to the wall, we rise. You know, when we have to, we rise. So I started going to, I started going around and doing a bit of personal training. I had this client one day and she said to me, she stopped and she said to me, why are you so angry? And I went, I'm not angry. What do you mean by angry? I'm not angry. What do you mean by angry? Because I want to also explain that I came from a family that never had any emotional conversations, emotionally absent. So I didn't know what, self-awareness was or personal development was, whatever. So she handed me a brochure to attend a personal development program. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. That changed my whole life. So that's where I got really emerged in, personal empowerment, starting to think about what was important in my life, starting to change. And in 2002, I think it was, then I transitioned into my coaching and training business. And, lots of adventures to where I am now today, but it's been the most, when I look back and all the stress I had, everything else as well, if that didn't happen to me, I may still be in a job that I hate. So sometimes things happen to us and it leads us to a new direction in our life and everything is perfect.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. I mean, I congratulate you to that decision to leave your corporate job. And I think there are so many people out there that hate the corporate job, their job they're in, and do not do anything because everything else is too much unknown. It's too risky to make this bold step forward. And you had the courage to change your situation, going into something you do not know what is going to come, how it is going to turn out. So congratulations on that. That not many people, especially I still think women, because I'm really doing a lot of research in that regard, I'm really having that courage to go that step. And as you say, you have to stay back to the wall, then we rise. You need to have this resilience that gets us to the next step, the perseverance then also to go through all of that, right? Because it doesn't happen from one day to the next. There is personal development and there is this growing phase that you have to go through. Yeah, and my question to you now, so you made this big step in 2001, I remember. And so what was your big why? What is your vision that you have started your own business?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think in business, your why changes, as we move through business and we experience more things and we get more clear. I think one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs do when they first start a business is they want to work out everything straight away. It's almost like I want to know everything straight away. But sometimes we don't know our big why until we experience things that are not our big why. It's that action taking along the path and then you go to the dead end or the monster turns up. You go, well, that's not the right way to go. I need to go a different way. But I tell you what my big why is now, because, it's evolved a lot because a lot of things have happened to me within the 21 years of being in business. So my big why now is to empower women, but also women who are stepping into entrepreneurship. Because, and I think my biggest why now is to get rid of all this BS marketing that's out there. If you do this one thing, everything's going to change. I remember when I first became a coach in 2002, there was a lot of advertising then going around about sitting on a beach with a laptop, getting a six-figure income and everything coming in straight away and you haven't got to do anything about it, No one talked about marketing. It was just like, do my coaching program, you'll be on the beach and that's it. So my big why now is, I'm thinking as I'm talking, is about teaching women business savviness to understand you can be really ripped off. And if you don't have that savviness of how to make decisions, yes, you'll learn it through your mistakes like I did, but it's so nice to have someone who can reach down and pick you up and show you the right direction as well. And at the same time, empowering the women to not to be afraid of the unknown, to grab life and not to be afraid of making mistakes or failing, but to fail forward, to go forward and keep learning, because that's how you learn, is by failing forward and making mistakes. And when you make your mistakes or whatever you're doing, then you've got real feedback to go, okay, that didn't work. Why didn't it work? So that self-reflection is important. But I think business success is about 80% is psychology and 20% is having really good strategies behind you.
Mm. So I really like what you're doing. And can you go a little bit deeper into, you said that you want to achieve the savviness that women have and to empower them with that. So making them, making personal development more effective. So how do you do that? So what is that, what you offer?
I think it's about tapping into your intuition here, Bridget, a lot as well. You know, when you listen to people, like I listen to people all the time. I remember when I first started, I would go to a networking event and someone would sit beside me and they'll go, hey, you need to have $20,000 on a website or something like that. And as a newbie, you don't really know what you'd need to know within your business, so you haven't got that savviness yet. But it's about listening to your intuition. And if something doesn't feel right, then it's sitting back and reflecting and making a decision that this doesn't quite feel right. It's not aligned with my values. So, you know, having that base core values of your vision, you know, your mission, who you want to be and who you want to become, and making the selection as to who you want to become as a business owner as well. And when opportunities come to you, you ask yourself a powerful question. And my powerful question used to always be, if I do this X, this thing, would it lead me closer to my vision, or will it distract me towards someone else's vision, for example? So I think it's having that savviness and listening to your gut feeling, that intuition, but also taking time to really understand your mindset and know that when you're feeling emotions and fear about the unknown, because we all have doubts, it doesn't matter how successful you're in business, when you go to the next level within your business, you will have those doubts. So it's about understanding that they're normal. So you're perfect, who you are, is that acceptance, and also kicking that monster out of your head. And saying to that monster, you're not welcome to this meeting today. You're out of here. And, you know, the old saying is fear the anxiety. You know, fear that, that excitement mixture with uncertainty, but still take action, still yeah. Move forward as well. That's important.
Yeah, as you say, taking action is the antidote of being in fear, having fear, living in anxiety. So getting out of that is really saying, yeah, nice to be here, fear, but you stay there. And I always say, take the back seat in my car, buckle up, because it's going to be there, but I'm going forward. And that means taking action, being courageous, because fear and taking action cannot coexist. So that is a bold thing to do, and we have to remind ourselves and to also, as you say, listen to your intuition. We have to learn that again. Yeah, we are conditioned to, you know, be conventional, go with the flow, but we have to reflect to what we already know, what is in us, yeah, and listen much more to that voice. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, and taking the action, I think that's really important, because you can't go wrong. You know, if it doesn't work, you just do something different. That's it. You know, it can't go wrong. But I think many women in business, they want to get everything perfect first. They want to, you know, they spend all their time worrying about which camera should I use. It doesn't matter. Use your phone on your phone camera to start with, you know, make it really easy. Or what platforms should I go on? So they distract themselves by asking everyone else's advice, where they can make things really simple, pick up a phone, do a Facebook Live or whatever, and reflect on that as you develop your skills more and look back and go, gosh, I've improved so much, you know, and I've improved because I was willing to keep on taking action. So action is really important. But when you take action, it's also to look at reflecting back on the action to see if you need to change your approach, to see if you need to change and execute differently, because you don't want to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. You're not going to get any traction in your business as well. So it's being open for new ideas as well.
Yeah, so when you are taking action, you are learning. You're learning from your, and I wouldn't even call it failures or mistakes. It's another way to learn. And as you said before, you are failing forward. You are leaping forward. It makes you richer in experience, and you know what is not working, and you can pivot from that. And waiting until something is perfect will not get you anywhere. Yeah.
No. And I think the entrepreneur, what they do is they have false expectations because of the advertising out there. The false expectations is I'm going to leave my corporate job or whatever, and I'm going to have this business straight away, success straight away. But I can tell you the secret sauce behind success in entrepreneurship isn't a strategy. It's about having consistency, having resilience, having a passion, having hunger for what you want to do, that you keep picking yourself up and you keep moving forward and surrounding yourself with people who will encourage, inspire and uplift you. Don't go alone. It's too hard.
Yeah, absolutely. The law of attraction, always focus on where you want to be and be really intentional who you are going to surround yourself with, and what are the people who can help you on the way, the people that you connect with also on the visceral level, that you share something with, right? So, yeah, and having that consistency, being out there, and also a certain amount of vulnerability, because I think you connect when you're a human being, when you are like you are, and there is nothing that is kind of masked. And again, we are back in this, circling back to being perfect. Nobody can be perfect, yeah? And I think just to show your, let's say, authentic self, yeah? That's who you are. That's the way of, you want to be perceived in the market. And, yeah, the visibility that makes you as a strong brand at the end of the day. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's about vulnerability shows strength, and vulnerability shows relatability as well. I know I see, people who have maybe been in business for 20 years on the online, and they've gone through the hard first few years of grounding, and they've got success because they're consistent. But when they start bragging about how many thousands or millions of followers and everything else as well, what it does to the new business owner, it makes them feel like they're inadequate, or there's something wrong with them, or that goal is too far out of their reach, for example. But when we're vulnerable and go, hey, I'm just like you. I struggled when I first started my business, just like what you're doing, and I know it's tough. That brings in the relatability and the empathy, and people will go, I like her because she's not trying to give us false expectations. Because if you're going to be in business, you're going to have to work at it as well. There's no overnight successes. And that's why you've got to have that foundation of hunger and that foundation of passion and everything else as well to keep yourself going forward as well.
Absolutely. So, Lee, I have a question regarding women. Why are you specifically focusing on women in personal development?
I think because I've got, because of what happened to me, because our blueprints or our beliefs of our past will always help us to make important decisions in our future. Because I was in a very male dominated area, you know, I just saw so many women, and I see women today that they almost in some way hold themselves back, you know, for getting opportunities within the career and business, everything else as well. So I've got a soft spot for women, and I want to work with women because I find working with women as well, they have more heart-centered conversations. You know, they're more trusting, and you can get to them talking about, you know, really in-depth conversations, more so than some men, because I found a lot of the men that I've worked with in the past, they were very guarded. You know, they didn't want to go to have those deep conversations. And we know those deep conversations is where change occurs. When you start looking at your identity, your beliefs and values, that's where your long-term change occurs as well. So I've got that soft spot for women, I think. So I asked myself, if I was on a deserted island, right, and I was in a deserted island and I had to hang out with my beloved clients or my dream clients, who would they be? What characteristics will I look for? This is deeper than avatar work. This is right down deep as if I was going to hang out, who would I hang out with? And that was women. I could see myself sitting around a circle on a desert island, you know, laughing, telling lies and big whoppers and having fun and having heartfelt conversations. So, and it's almost like a sisterhood. So I really resonate to that type of movement to supporting women. And there's nothing wrong with men. I've had men as clients. In fact, how I got at the corporate arena was a general manager, Raymond Faulkner, you know, and he just raves about me. So it's not anti-man at all. It's just my preference. It's just who I want to serve and who gives me energy.
That sounds beautiful. And you're also having different kinds of programs, and now you're also a LinkedIn broadcaster. You have your own live show. And I'm honored. I was your guest, so it was really fun to be on your show too. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Why did you start it, and what was your intention? I think it's also women that you are interviewing, right?
Yeah. That LinkedIn show, the idea of LinkedIn show was to help people to understand different principles and different ways through conversation. So it wasn't really about giving the 10 tips for something, but I wanted to have a very informal show where I spoke with women and we were equal. There wasn't an expert with me. We were equal. And we were just having a conversation as if we were sitting around a table with a cup of coffee and we're having the conversations and we're bouncing ideas of each other. So very relaxed, very informal, but we would talk about topics and the specific one that you're on with me, Bridget, as well. It was around leadership and branding and business leaders as well as workplace leaders as well. Because I serve both, because to me leadership is so important, because leadership is who you are and how you show up to me is leadership. It's not about, you know, knowing the exact communication strategy of 1, 2, 3. It's about caring for people. So I got really excited doing that, of actually having these wonderful women that I've met through my entrepreneurship that we connected with, like yourself, Bridget, to come on board and graciously give their time and just have a conversation. There was no stress, nothing, but it was just amazing. And I think people learn better from hearing stories and hearing discussion groups than having passive learning, like you're at school, you're sitting down, not doing anything, and all that sort of thing as well. So my idea was just to give, and there was no promotions, as you know, on those interviews and things. It was just to give unconditionally to my audience who are listening in.
Exactly. I mean, I love that you have mentioned, yeah, learning from stories. And also when I still teach at the universities and when I try to explain something, I use stories because I feel like then I see them listening, they're on spot. And it is like that. You're connecting really on the emotional level. You're touching their hearts because they see themselves in the story. And then they remember that much more. Yeah. So you're not directly connecting with the mind or the head, but you're connecting via, yeah, as a secondary thing, via your heart to the head. So that's why we love stories. Yeah, because we have our own movies in our head, and that's what we remember. And I see also my students then in the exam, they come with my stories. So it's really interesting. And it's nothing that they need to study. It's just there. You have it. You understand it. Yeah.
And stories have been embedded from us. You know, when we're little kids at nighttime, our parents would always cuddle up beside us and tell us the story. And I remember my brothers used to tell me stories of the big monster under the bed. They're going to jump out and grab you. And we walk around and we get scared and scream. You know what kids do. So we're all conditioned with stories. And I think it's really great to be able to speak authentically and use stories as metaphors and ways to help people to gain their own insights. So we're not telling or dictating or trying to put our values onto people as well. Because I know with my NLP training, the idea of open loop stories and metaphors allowed my clients to gain their own learnings, their own insights, so they start to move forward and start to create that long-term change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, they get to pick out of the story whatever they need for their personal development, true for them, and what can help them to grow. Yeah. So since you're also in the educational realm with the coaching and online courses, and having been in business for 20 years, you have built your personal brand and you help others in that sense also to build their personal brand. So what does personal branding mean to you, and especially in the context of women?
Yeah, personal branding to me is how you present yourself, how you actually show up. You know, it's to me, personal branding is, you know, am I caring for someone? Am I a person who puts my clients first? Do I take time to stay to talk to my clients? So to me, I'm not a glamour person, for example. I'm more of being authentic, being real, having heart open conversations, great listener, but I have the ability, which is part of my personal branding, and this is what someone else told me. I wasn't even aware of it. And this is the power of feedback. And they said I had the ability to ask questions so that I can drill the person down so they uncover how their thoughts dictate their behavior without me telling them. So I love that, because that's, to me, it's about when that happens, my clients get the shifts they need to get, which moves them forward as well. So, yeah, I'm very – and, of course, part of my branding is no BS marketing. It's like let's be honest here. Let's roll our sleeves up. Let's understand it takes time to actually build a business. Roll our sleeves up. I will inspire you. I will keep you on track. I will keep you accountable. All you need to do is have a willingness to keep moving forward and taking action.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So let's circle back to failing. You mentioned failing forward and love stories. So I would like to know, do you have a story about yourself where you failed forward? Was there anything, a roadblock, a detour that you have to take that was so pronounced, that was so significant, that you learned and you grew from it forward?
Yeah, in 2016, so you know, I love my coach and love my corporate work, but in 2016, I had a traumatic experience which really changed how I moved forward in my business to what it is today. It was a catalyst. And what had happened with me, I had actually got cancer and I had to have a complete nose reconstruction. So I lost my whole nose. And it took like 7 operations in 1 year to do the construction. And then I had a year of depression afterwards because here's a woman who did martial arts and very active every day up until my age. I was pretty close to, you know, I was pretty close to 60 at that time, and a champion. And all of a sudden, that was taken away from me. It was my passion, it's what I loved. It was taken away from me because during those all those operations, I couldn't. I had my nose covered over because you go through a reconstruction process that. You know, for the first six weeks, you have no nose at all and things like that. So it was pretty traumatic because you had, because when we look in the mirror, the first thing we do is to see our face, you know. So that was really, so my business, with 2 years away from my business, everything died. There was no income. There was nothing coming in. And I didn't want to go back to the corporate arena. I didn't want to go back to working with managers, even though I was contracting, I didn't want to go back there. So then I decided to go into the marketing, you know, in the marketing and online business. And I thought, you know, I'd listen to all the bells and whistles and tried all of these wonderful things and paid like probably pretty close to $100,000 in the last 4 years of trying all these amazing marketing strategies. And it finally, I wasn't getting the traction that I was after. I was following all the strategies. I was following, and I'm a big implementer as well. I was implementing everything, lots and lots of investment. And then one day the penny dropped. And the penny dropped was I was doing the same strategy as what the really highly, highly successful entrepreneurs were doing. But it wasn't working for me, and the reason why it wasn't working for me was because they're in a different place in their business. They already have the momentum going. They already have lots of social proof, lots of clients. They are spending thousands of dollars on Facebook ads to generate that, you know, big budgets, because they're in a different place than what a first year or a second year online business owner's doing. And even though we can learn the same strategies, the big ha-ha came to me was, it's not about the strategy. It's about consistency, picking yourself up, keep going, determination, and having people around you. So that's what really, it took me pretty close to 3 years to get that, because I was thinking there was something wrong with me. You know, I'm buying all these courses and doing and saying exactly the same stuff as what these other people are doing, but I forgot the element that they are an established business and they've been going a lot longer than what I have. And then if we had a conversation with them, they were probably in the same place as me when they first started their business as well.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, absolutely. I think you need to have a strategy because you need to know where you're going. You need to be intentional, but you need to have this consistency in following up, in walking it, and having the people around you that support you. Yeah? So it needs both together. It's kind of a system that needs to work. Good. So, Lee, since you're also in my sphere, in my space, I would like to know from you, for everyone who is shifting from being a corporate into solopreneurship, what needs to be in place when you build your own brand, your own personal brand, when you are the face of your own company? So are there any key branding essentials that you can give us as advice to take away?
Sure. The first thing I would say to you is start doing your background information around your business and work out your idea whilst you're still employed. So do a slow transition. So, you know, spend a couple of hours a night, because it takes time to get that clarity of who you want to work with. You know, it's not that easy. You go, yeah, I want to work with this person, but you've got to redo a lot of research. You have to look at a lot of the language they're using, the, you know, obviously their pain points, and how are you going to resolve those pain points. And that marketing piece to begin with, Bridget, that is so important, because, and it's the most frustrating as well, because you feel like you're going around in circles sometimes with it as well. But the more you do it, the more clearer you know who you want to serve. And if they're aligned with your brand, like I'm talking about my ethics, like I won't work with anyone who hasn't got any ethics and things like that. There's certain qualities I want to, don't want to work with. But once you get a really good idea of who, I call them my beloved clients, when you have a really good idea of who they are and the problems that they, and the deep problems that they experience and the pain that comes from those problems and how you can solve it and talk to them, yeah, that's probably at least a 3-month process before you even start to market yourself or anything else as well. So with the branding, the transition about, it's all about finding the right person that you want to work with, getting to know them, listen to them, understand them, as if they're sitting in front of you and you're having a conversation with them, and to be authentic. And the more you understand them, the more you'll be able to communicate to them the how you're going to solve their problems, and they'll identify with you. So then what happens is they're chasing you and you're not chasing them. They're actually being attracted, the law of attraction. They're actually being attracted to you. And then when you start seeing that's happening and you're seeing your clients being attracted to you, then you can look at maybe going to part-time with your work and then slowly transition out to an entrepreneur straight away, unless you're lucky enough to have enough finances to support you for at least a year without earning income. But if you're trying to earn income in your business straight away, so you're operating from desperation instead of inspiration, you're going to really be stressed because there's no magic pill.
You need to be in the state of more of abundance in order to get things going in a very positive mindset, and being open and not in a fearful mindset of I have to pay my bills and this and that. So it's good to keep your corporate job as long as possible. And then kind of once you are ready, you feel like you have your customer, you can generate money, you can have your own income with your business, then basically jump. Yeah. And what you say is so important. First of all, know yourself, who you are, really do this deep soul work, discover and define yourself and what your vision and vision is, and then clarify who your ideal customer is. And the more you narrow it down, the more you are specific, the better you can serve, because you cannot serve everyone. Yeah, so I think that is so important, and there needs to be this fit, this alignment of what you can offer to what the customer needs and desires, and that in a much better way than everyone else can do. And I think then you're on the safe side. But as you say, it takes time, and at least 3 months, 1 year. For some, it takes even more than that. But it's different, and everyone has a different pacing in that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And of course, there's always the odd person who can jump at the gate, but they probably already have the contacts already. You know, they may have, for example, if you're in a corporate job and you're hanging out with the CEOs and you want to go out and do the same work, but do it in your own business. Well, of course, you've got the contacts. You've attracted the client already. So they're the minority. So if that's your situation, of course you can go for the cake a lot faster because all the groundwork has been done.
Absolutely. So before we end our show, Lee, I would like to do a very quick word wrap with you. Are you ready to give me quick and short answers? Perfect. Online courses.
Fantastic.
Mindset.
Absolutely necessary.
Women.
Glorious.
Oh, I love that. Empowering.
amazing, inspirational.
Good. And last but not least, brains.
Necessary.
Great. So Lee, thank you so much for being on my show today. Yeah, if anyone wants to find you, where would they find you?
Sure, you can come to my my website. It's just leestemcoaching.com. Lots of information is there. Or you can jump into my Facebook group. So my Facebook group is Aspiring Horse Creators. You'll see it there. Jump in there as well under my name, Lee Stem. And I welcome everyone as well.
Thank you so much, Lee. It was a pleasure having you here and sharing how you help your clients shine and telling us about your own personal story. And yeah, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you, Lee. And that was my conversation with Lee Stem. If you like my show, head over to BridgetBrands.com and sign up for my newsletter to never miss an episode. I look forward to welcoming you in my community. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my Brands Talk podcast on your preferred app. Share it on social media, and if you find a minute or two, leave a quick rating or review. Thank you so much. I hope you will stay tuned in on the next episode when we dive into the world of brains.